Good morning, everyone. If you could have Psalm 1 open in front of you, that would be really helpful. Page 543. And let me pray for us. We remember the day when Jesus' disciples came to him and said, "Lord, teach us to pray." And Lord God, we pray that as we begin this series on the book of the Psalms, as we look at these prayers, you would indeed teach us, your people, to pray. In Jesus' name, amen. In 2015, Microsoft conducted a piece of research and produced a report which led to the following headlines in the media. Humans have shorter attention spans than goldfish, thanks to smartphones. Smartphones are making us dumber. According to the report, in the year 2000, before the advent of smartphones, our average attention span was 12 seconds. Whereas 15 years later, we have become so conditioned to endlessly clicking on hyperlinks, being distracted by all the different notifications and updates from our phones, that the average human attention span has reduced from 12 to 8 seconds. Whereas the goldfish is thought to have an attention span of 9 seconds. Now, on closer inspection, there are some problems with this research. Firstly, no one really knows what the attention span of a goldfish is. In fact, some argue that they are, in fact, more intelligent than we've always given them credit for. And in fact, it's not really clear what an average attention span is, what that really means when you sort of dig down into the research. But nevertheless, it made for some good headlines. And it highlights a problem that has always been the case for men and women, and that can only be getting worse in today's world. We are easily distracted. Easily distracted. The world around us clamors for our attention. Look at this. You really need that. You'll really like this. You should be concerned about that. This will make you happy. Over here, over there, so on and so on. Some of the brightest people in Silicon Valley are being paid a lot of money, essentially to work out how to attract your attention, how to make you click on this advert or that link. The opening verse of Psalm 1 describes how in all of this, this clamor, the world draws us away, distracts us from God. It's always been the way, of course, long before our internet age. Verse 1, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers." Do you see the progression there? But from starting walking in the counsel of the wicked, and then standing, and then finally sitting, accepting the advice of the world around us to begin with, then conforming to its ways, and then finally just adopting all of its attitudes, drawn away, distracted away from God and his ways. But there is an answer to this problem, and an antidote, something that calls us back. And according to this psalm, it is meditation on the law of the Lord. Blessed is the person who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, stand in the way of sinners, sit in the seat of mockers. But verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. That's what we're going to be thinking about this morning. Meditation. Coming to attention. I've got three P's this morning in my sermon. It's probably just me, but I always feel happy with three P's. Sense that all must be right with the world. My sermon has three P's. And I know it's just me, but here they are. Psalms, promise, and practice. Something firstly I want to say about the Psalms in general as we begin this series this summer. And then secondly and thirdly, I want to talk about the promise and the practice of this specific call to meditate on God's word. So firstly, Psalms. The book of Psalms was the prayer book of God's people in the Old Testament. And today, it is the prayer book of the church. Our primary prayer book, or at least it should be. In recent years, it has been neglected. For centuries, Christians have faithfully prayed through the Psalms, down the centuries, regularly and sequentially, Psalm 1 through to 150. Christians have prayed the Psalms individually and corporately. Today, when people say that they love the Psalms, they often mean that they love the happy ones, the praisey ones, and they skip over all the angry ones and the Psalms of lament and despair and guilt and so on and so on. But the book of Psalms is the prayer book of the church. All 150 of them. The book of Psalms is different from the other books of the Bible in this. It is there not so much to teach us about God, but rather to train us in responding to God. In every other part of the Bible, the right question to ask after reading a passage, a section, is what is God saying to me through this passage? What is God teaching me? But in the Psalms, that of course is still a right question, but the more fundamental question is, what should I be saying to God? Not what is God is saying to me, but what should I be saying to God? It is a book not just where we have God speaking to us, but where we are trained to speak to God. Now, of course, you don't need training. Anyone can speak to God at any time and in any way, but you want to be trained in a full prayer life, how to speak to God in every circumstance, in every situation in life. It's there in the Psalms. And this summer, we're working our way through the book of Psalms. As Joy said, we're not going through all 150 of them, but if you look at our term card, we're picking through a variety, praying our trouble, praying our sin, praying our salvation, praying our tears, praying our fears, praying our death, praying our doubt, praying our praise. The reformer Calvin called the Psalms an anatomy of all parts of the human soul. We're going to be preaching through this on Sunday mornings, and then following the series in some of the home groups. If you're not in a home group, if you'd like to follow this series through, not just on Sundays, but in the middle of the week, speak to me, especially speak to Joy if you like to do that. Just speaking personally, I've been using the Psalms regularly, sequentially, in my prayer times for about the last year and a half. And it's been part of the most significant growth in my prayer life for many years. In this book, we are trained to pray, to speak to God. But the book begins with Psalm 1, which interestingly is not a prayer. Nor is Psalm 2, actually, which we're looking at next week. Psalm 1, it begins, is designed, it was probably written specially to begin this prayer book. It sets the context for prayer, but as you read through it, it is not a prayer. It is a call to attention. The best prayer doesn't begin with prayer. We're not ready when we come to pray. We're much too wrapped up in ourselves. We're distracted by the world, the counsel of the world, the ways, the attitudes of those around us. Before we're ready to speak to God, we need to come to attention. We need to let God start the conversation, if you like. And so in this prayer training manual that is the book of Psalms, that addresses every state of the human mind, guilt and anxiety and fear and joy and despair and so on, it starts with this universal human trait. We are easily distracted. We need to stop and listen. We're called to biblical meditation. That's the first P, Psalms. Secondly, and thirdly, the promise and the practice of meditation. The promise. Look with me at the claims, the promises of this psalm, Psalm 1. Blessed is the man or the woman who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season. Blessed is the man or the woman. Often we translate blessed, happy. That's a good translation. Happy is the person who has learnt to meditate on the word of God. Perhaps another word would be fulfilled. Total fulfillment for the person who has learnt to meditate on the word of God. Verse 2, their delight is in the law of the Lord. Meditate, they're like a tree planted by streams of water. The picture here is of rootedness, of security, a tree rooted by a stream. A tree by a stream is a good position. It is a tree that does not need to depend upon the rains, that does not fear the drought. It is a tree that, it says, yields its fruit in season. This is a fruitful tree, a fruitful life. The fruit is produced in season. It's not constant. There are, of course, seasons where there is no fruit. But ultimately, there's life and fruit. This is a picture, these opening verses. It is a description of the person who has not been distracted by the world, but has learned to meditate on God's word. They are happy and rooted and fruitful. Wouldn't you like to be like that? And the contrast in this psalm is between the rooted and fruitful tree and the chaff. The chaff. Verse 4, not so the wicked, they are like chaff that the wind blows away. The chaff is the husk of the grain after the harvest. It has no substance. It can't produce anything. It can't stay put. The wind just blows it away. It is rootless and weightless and useless. And it is a stark contrast. It is a warning against being distracted, drawn away from God by the ways of the world. To go this way is serious. It has, as you read on, eternal consequences. But the tree, that for the person who has learned to put their roots into God and his word, the promise is that person will know happiness. That person will be a person of substance. That person will be fruitful. And this isn't naive. The Psalms are very real about the trials of life for the Christian. This isn't immunity from all of that, but through it all, the promise is of rootedness and fruitfulness and knowing the blessing of God. What kind of person would you like to be? You and I have relatively little control over our circumstances, over the illnesses that may come our way, over the setbacks and the sufferings that we and those we love will have to endure, the highs and the lows in life. Much of that just comes our way, and we can do very little about it. But we can do something about our characters, about how we respond to our circumstances, about where we put down our roots, about what we pay attention to. Blessed is the person whose delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law they meditate day and night. They are like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season. The promise of meditation. Finally, the practice of meditation. And when we talk about meditation, I'm aware of this risk. We tend to think of Eastern meditation, of the lotus position, of sitting cross-legged in a circle with others, humming quietly to ourselves, of emptying our minds of everything. That's the picture of meditation that we are used to. But biblical meditation is almost exactly the opposite. I mean, you can sit cross-legged if you want, but it is not the emptying of your mind, but rather the filling of your mind and the feeding of your mind with the law of the Lord, God's words, Scripture, filling your mind and feeding your mind. The word meditate, actually, it means, or it sort of comes from the word to murmur, to move your lips, to repeat. To meditate is to chew over God's words. In fact, the prophet Isaiah uses the same word for meditation here to describe the noise a lion makes over its prey. It's a lovely picture. It's a wonderful picture of a hungry lion meditating over an antelope that it has in its paws. It is licking its lips. It is chewing it over. It is feeding and filling itself. A lion meditating over the antelope before it. The man or woman of God meditating over the word of God, reading it, repeating it, chewing it over, filling your mind. It's not weird for a spiritual elite. It is the way to begin to pray. If you don't mind me being personal and practical just for a minute, this is how I have learnt to pray in my prayer times recently, and it has been transformational. I hesitate to do this because I'm a failed prayer like all the rest of you. But I begin by reading a psalm in my prayer times, and I have a few set psalms, different ones that I pray on each day of the week, well-known ones. They're mainly praise psalms that I begin with, and I just read one of them through out loud, a different one for Monday through to Sunday. Then I read another psalm, working sequentially through the book of Psalms. I've got a couple of short devotional books that include a very brief thought and a very short prayer. If you're interested, I'd love to tell you about what those books are, so helpful. And then I read a chapter elsewhere in the Bible. And around these readings, I just have a few set prayers that I pray. And I find, actually, if I use my own prayers at this point, they are generally terrible. And I'm sure God doesn't mind my terrible prayers, but I want to focus. And none of this takes very long, 15 minutes. I don't do anything special. I just read and I think. But I find that only then am I ready to pray. And why? Because I've let God start the conversation. I've let him set the tone. When I start my prayer times with my own prayers, then generally they're all about me, and they're not very good. When I begin by slowly reading through Scripture, meditating, I find I gain perspective. I find I'm much more ready. In fact, I want to pray for other people. And I find that my own problems don't seem nearly as important as they did to begin with. In fact, often I don't really mind if I've got to praying about them or not. I speak as a failed prayer like all the rest of you. But I've found that the best prayers don't begin with prayer. We're not ready. We're so wrapped up in ourselves. We're so distracted by so many things. And in this prayer training manual that is the book of Psalms, it begins not with a prayer, but with a call to stop and to listen, to meditate on God's word. And as we do that, of course, we encounter not just a book, but a person. Jesus Christ, God's word made flesh. The one who offered us living water. We put our roots into him. So our meditation is not a sort of self-help ritual, but a living relationship, Christianity, a relationship with Jesus Christ. And where our meditation would otherwise lead us to despair, when we realize how far we fall short of God's word, how we have wandered from his ways, how we're broken and we're spiritually sick, where we would despair, our meditation leads us to Jesus, where we find forgiveness and hope and healing and life in him. Do you want to learn to pray? To pray better? Then the book of Psalms. Stick with us over this series. Talk with one of us. I'd love to talk to you if you wanted to talk about your prayer life. Joy, the same. Will is at Speen this morning. He'd love to talk to you about prayer. Do something. I came across a Chinese proverb the other day. The best time to plant a tree is 20 years ago. The second best time is now. Take the opportunity of now. Put down your roots in Jesus Christ and his word. Let the Psalms train you in prayer. And begin by being called to attention from your distracted life. Feed on the living word of God and on Jesus Christ, the word made flesh, that you might be blessed and rooted and fruitful to his glory. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, teach us to pray. Call us to attention. Help us to fill our minds with the living word of God. In your name we pray. Amen.